It's Tuesday, 21st of January, and it's time to get your grin on with a Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Psychopathic.
Sup?
And Velt.
Hello, is this thing on?
It is now.
It is now.
Welcome to your first episode, Velt.
Ah, thank you very much. It's an exciting experience.
Some people couldn't make it, so I've had to convince Psychopathic to make a return, and Velt is a new regular.
A new challenger approaches.
It's dangerous to go alone, so I've brought you guys. We've got a few things to talk about, but first we'll talk about what we always talk about, games we've been playing this past week. Psychopathic, do you want to start us off?
With the Union stuff, I haven't had much opportunity to play stuff, but when I have, it's basically solely Dragon Age Origins. I've more or less been obsessed with it since about August last year, even though the game's been out for over a decade now. I got it on release, but it never really interested me back then. But having come to recently play it again now, I've absolutely fell in love with it. I'm playing for the game literally with two characters at the same time at the moment, just because of the amount of different directions you can go with the game and how much each different choice affects the outcome and the rest of the game. It's really interesting seeing the differences, actually. I've also been playing a little bit of Minecraft, just like in my spare time, if I have like a spare 10-20 minutes. I've started recently just making hardcore worlds and just trying to defeat the Ender Dragon as fast as I possibly can.
Yeah, why not?
It's fun, actually. I don't always succeed. I fail more than I succeed, but it's fun. It is quite challenging, and it is very satisfying when I do manage to get it.
But do you play that on your own, or do you co-op that with people? Can you co-op that? You can co-op that with people, right?
Yeah, you use realms and stuff, but no, I've been doing that completely on my own. I've taken a couple of pointers from like YouTube videos and stuff, but other than that, I've basically been trying to figure out the best tactics on my own.
Sounds fun.
Just those two, really.
Okay, fair enough. Your education comes first. Should be studying, not playing video games.
Study what I can. I don't study much, let's be honest.
You study the art of video games.
Yeah.
So, Velt, what have you been up to?
I've been playing sort of like, I just play like gacha games and stuff. So I play Fire Emblem Heroes on Dissidia Final Fantasy Opera Omnia on my mobile phone, which is fun. But the game that I've been playing most of for review for Game Grin is a leaked one, is Neverwinter Nights, which is fun because obviously Psychopathic's been playing Dragon Age Origins, which is kind of in a way, a successor to Neverwinter Nights.
I've heard a lot about Neverwinter, actually. It does look really interesting.
It's definitely interesting. It feels aged. I don't know, what are you playing Dragon Age on? Is it a console or a PC?
PC, yeah.
Okay. So, I had played Dragon Age Origins way back when it first came out. And I played it on the PlayStation, was it PS3 when it came out? PS3.
Yeah, I believe it would be PS3.
And there are a lot of problems with the game on PS3, controls-wise. It doesn't control very well on that system. I suppose it does control well on PC because you can, like, mouse. It's a game very built for the mouse. Neverwinter Nights is exactly the same. It's a game built for the mouse, and as I'm playing it on a PlayStation 4, no mouse.
You plug a USB mouse in, can't you?
I don't know, can you? I didn't know you could do that. Not that I ever tried or have one.
I know you can do keyboard. I'm pretty sure you can do mouse.
It might be. I don't know if there's support for the game with a mouse. That's something of interest, though. I don't know whether that works. Because I've never even thought about playing on a PlayStation with a keyboard and mouse. So I don't even know if it works.
If you can do it on mobile, there's no reason you can't do it on console.
It's true. I've plugged controllers into mobile phones before, and that's worked. So yeah, maybe it works. I'll have to have a look and see if it does work. Not that I have a mouse at it at all, but it could be. It could help the controllability of the game somewhat. It's a decent sort of. I don't know. I'm struggling with it. Is what I'm trying to say. The idea of its age. I think it's 20 years old now. 2000. Yeah, almost 20 years old. It's like 18 years old.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
It's old enough to vote. playing game. I mean, not all games, because some games age incredibly well. All platformers like Mario World and stuff still play incredibly well to this day, but there's something about it that just feels very old-fashioned and not kept up with.
It's the sort of game that came with a thick manual.
Yeah, funny enough, as a review copy, I don't believe we get manuals either.
No, not really.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'd like to see the big old manual, actually, if it comes with a big old manual.
And you wouldn't have if you'd bought it from the PlayStation Store anyway.
No, that's true as well, yeah. Unless there's something in the game's digital files or something like that. But I couldn't see any option for it on the main menu. So that might be a bit of an oversight on their part.
You'd think it'd be right there on the main menu.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? I know there's some old games. I know they used to be on the PS3 when you used to buy games from the store where it had an option to view the manual, but I don't think they actually do anymore, like digital manuals and stuff.
So just those?
Sort of. I've been playing. So I played, like, last week. I did a stream with a friend. We played Mario Kart Double Dash, which was a lot of fun, although frustrating. I'd forgotten how. So it's frustrating with two players. It's like a three-legged race because we played co-op on Mario Kart Double Dash, which is one of the things that you can do. There's two riders, two races to a kart, which is unusual for any kart game, really, I think. So basically, both of us were driving and both of us were throwing items. And it is a bit like running a three-legged race. It's much easier when you've only got two legs on the controller and not three.
Do you, like, both have full control of the car?
Not at the same time. So one person drives and one person sits on the back, and then you get items, and the other person on the back controls the items, and the person in the front drives. And then you can swap as you do it as well. It's an interesting thing. We did find out halfway through our stream that I could pass him items from the front, because sometimes the person at the front gets items. So we didn't know that we could just pass each other items, so we were swapping, and I was considerably better at racing than he was. So it got frustrating very quickly. But also, like, the AI in that game hates you. It just hates you.
I got that game when it came out. And there's a reason they haven't copied that mechanic for the following Mario Kart games.
It's a fun mechanic. I think we were saying on the stream that, not that the new game should be like that, but if they make another Mario Kart game, it would be fun for them to include a mode that is co-op in that way, or like an online mode, so online co-op where it's two in a kart. Just because it is a really fun gameplay thing, and it's great fun to play co-op like that. And I know some racing games, so what is the Sonic team racing sort of tried to do co-op racing in a different way. But there aren't many co-op races out there, especially not with couch co-op, like, it's always versus. So I feel like it'd just be fun. It'd be a fun little thing that they could re-implement. And I know fans of Double Dash would be very appreciative.
Yes, both of them. Myself... I've played the usual Azur Lane, Dauntless, gone back to that because they've got a event going at the moment where you earn Hump Pass experience and it goes towards a core for, this is like the fourth Hump Pass, so they're now, once you've finished level 50 of the current Hump Pass, your Hump Pass experience goes towards items from the very first Hump Pass.
Mm. How does that work? So they just have a shop of... Is that accessible for anybody, or is that just a...
It's as soon as you've completed level 50 on the Hump Pass, you go and talk to the Gregor, the guy who runs the Hump Pass, and he'll give you a quest. You get 200 Hump Pass experience. He'll give you a core. You open it. It's a random thing from the first Hump Pass that you don't own.
So it's kind of loot box-wise, sort of in a sense.
If you already completed that Hump Pass, you just get some premium Hump Pass bounties. Those differ from the normal bounties in that they will carry on to the next Hump Pass, rather than just... I had like 50 free bounty tokens when the Hump Pass rolled over last time, and as soon as it rolls over, they're all gone. But the premium ones you get to keep.
Okay.
So even if you did get everything from the first Hump Pass, or while you're doing it this way, you get everything that you missed, then you can still, you're still getting something out of it. Because every day you're given free hunt, free bounty tokens anyway, so you can just use those to go towards getting yourself some premium ones. Other than that, I returned to Warframe. It's been a few months since I played that. It was well before the latest Empyrean update, I think it's called. I've completed the very first quest where you have to confront this baddie and deactivate this thing he's infected you with.
Thing.
So I finally got around to doing that and opened up the galaxy to explore. Or world.
I've never played Warframe. Is it a particularly big game? I know some people that have played it before, but
it appears to be. But it's like Destiny 2. There's lots of places to go, and you do stuff in those places. So I imagine you keep going back to the same places. But yeah, I've been having fun with it. Also returned to Yakuza 0, which I haven't played, it turns out, since October 2018.
Oh, that's a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't gotten around to it. Every time I've thought, right, I have some time to game. Well, Yakuza 0, it's going to take ages to get to the next bit, so I might as well play something else and go back to Yakuza when I have more time.
No, that's not how you play Yakuza. You need to go into the karaoke bar every night. go to play some mini games. Do some silly stuff. Don't play the game. Just go off and do the karaoke bits and the maid cafes and stuff.
Well, I've reached chapter 3. I'm a short way into chapter 3 now.
That's okay. I think the whole point of these sort of big open worlds, it's the same with GTA. It is the Japanese GTA in a sense. And a lot of people play it in sort of just silly ways, don't they? I don't think so many people who play GTA would never experience the story. I know Yakuza's a bit more of a cinematic experience, but
I remember last time I played it, the cutscenes were going on so long that my screensaver was kicking in.
It's fine, because my first Yakuza game was Yakuza 3, and I believe they didn't have English dialogue then, so it was all like the opening 3-hour cutscene of Japanese soap drama with subtitles and no English dialogue.
This is actually, I think I played Yakuza 3, but it was on PlayStation Plus at one point, and that was going back years when I played that. So this is the first one that I've actually sunk any decent amount of time into. I still enjoy grabbing bikes and just belting people with them.
We need more combat systems in games where you're just allowed to pick up a random item from the side of the street and just hit people with them.
And the last game that I've been playing this week is Dead or Alive Venus Vacation. If you've not heard of this, the Dead or Alive Extreme games are the characters from Dead or Alive have gone to an island, and they do various games such as volleyball and standing on a log trying to knock each other off and that sort of thing. So then the developers came out with Dead or Alive Venus Vacation, which involves the ladies from Dead or Alive going to an island and playing volleyball against each other.
Wait, how's that different from the other one?
Because you don't control the characters.
Okay.
Also,
this is a one-handed mode for...
It's just the women, and you can activate photo mode in basically any screen. And it has a gacha mechanic where you... The things you get out of the gacha are swimsuits for the ladies, which have different attributes, and some are more powerful than others, and they're super rare and normal. And when you use the gacha, you click to either hand in the free token or pay your premium currency, because it's a free-to-play game.
Mm. I'd hoped. I was in the back of my mind. I was like, "Is this a full price game as well?"
And then, once you've chosen your gacha, you then click on the shower door where the lady is showering. You don't see anything, but she finishes her shower and then puts on the outfit, like while the screen is black while it's loading, and then like does a twirl for you.
Okay.
This game is only available in Singapore, from what I can tell.
Wow.
How do I have it, you might ask? Well, with the Steam library update, just randomly, I was scrolling down my list of games right to the bottom to see which ones needed to be put in categories. And I see Dead or Alive Venus Vacation there. I'm like, wait. So I try going to the Steam store page, not accessible in your country. I send it to several other people, ask, do you have access to this game? Nope. Can't access this page. Don't have access to this game.
How is this possible?
Did you fly to Singapore just to get this game?
I've done some reading on it, and if you use a VPN, change your country to Singapore, and then visit the Steam page, you can add it to your library, then you can turn off the VPN and download it.
But this, right, but this suggests that you've done that.
I haven't. It's been in my library since the update, which was, what, like a couple of months ago, and I just decided, right, sod it, I'm going to try this game out.
Sounds less of a game and more of a...
I did tweet about it, and someone said, well, it doesn't sound like a game, really.
I'm not a very big fan of people calling out things for not being games, you know, the whole walking simulator thing, but in this, you kind of just... Do you do anything?
It's a photography simulator.
That's not true. Pokemon Snap's a photography simulator, and you get to do things in that one.
You get to do things in this. You get to watch them play volleyball and take pictures of them playing volleyball and near pools and on beaches.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's something to be said for the Dead or Alive franchise for sticking to its guns in that regard.
If you're not familiar with the Dead or Alive franchise, one of its main selling points is the fact that the lady's boobs bounce.
It is Jiggle Physics, the fighting game.
And yes, that they do that in this game as well. But wearing skimpier outfits. You get to
slow-mo. Can you slow-mo the camera?
No.
Is just physically, like, stop? Is it just a still image, or is it you can't take videos, unfortunately?
I haven't tried taking photos or videos, but...
What have you been doing in the game?
Doing the gacha every day and some of the daily missions.
Missions?
You can do the volleyball games at double speed. So I've either been doing that
Kazumi for 7 hours.
Or skipping them, which it just gives you the results straight away.
It sounds so... I mean, it's passive at the very least, but I guess it just sounds so odd.
It's a pervert simulator. There's no two ways about it. And yes, if you go looking at... If you do manage to get access to the Steam store page or the Steam community page, there are guides on how to download and activate the nude mods.
That makes sense. I have nothing to say about that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There are nude mods for everything, right? Like, Dead or Alive is the first thing that I would expect nude mods for.
I've looked at several games that have found no nude mods, at least on PC. There was one that there's a nude mod for the Vita version.
Wait, there's a Vita version?
No, not a Vita version of this. I mean, of a different game.
Okay, I was like, wait, this on the Vita now? I don't know. You couldn't watch them play volleyball while on the toilet.
Right, so, Psychopath, you were going to say something?
I actually have to be fair, forgotten.
Fair enough.
I got a bit distracted by the subject matter.
Right, well...
That's what they wanted.
From Ladies You Might Want to Smash to Nintendo Mini Direct Smash Edition, which showed off some new characters, well, the last of the new characters, and some new outfits this past week. It's the final character of the Smash Pass... First Smash Fighter Pass. First Fighter's Pass, because they've also announced the second one, is Byleth from from Fire Emblem Three Houses.
And I will take this opportunity to say ho's mad at Byleth. Well, I don't know if they're mad at Byleth, but people are angry.
I've seen a lot of things saying that that people are incensed that it's another Fire Emblem character, instead of
I think
a different Nintendo character.
Yeah, I think at this point we've got to kind of come to terms with the fact that Fire Emblem for Nintendo at the very least is probably a series that they want to focus heavily on, at least in the future. And a lot of Smash fans don't like that idea, but I think that's more because particularly in Smash, I think this is the 8th character from Fire Emblem. There are only two other franchises with eight or two other franchises with the 8 or more characters in them. They are Mario and Pokemon.
I thought you were going to say franchises with 8 Fire Emblem characters in.
That's Fire Emblem Bros, the fighting game. Yeah, no, so I think to a lot of Smash fans, Fire Emblem is getting some bizarre preferential treatment over franchises like Zelda, which is,
I mean, there's only so many links you can put in a game.
I mean, I did make this point on Twitter that there are 3 links in Smash. Wait, so there are six Zelda characters and 3 of them are Link.
We need more Ganons.
2 of them are Zelda.
Along with this new character, they've put in some costumes. Altair from Assassin's Creed, or Rabbids from the Rayman franchise, and Cuphead from... what game was he in? Oh yeah, Cuphead.
I can't remember. What was that game called? I can tell you, I think people are far more excited about Cuphead than they are Byleth for some bizarre for some reason. Even though the Cuphead costume is just me gonna, and the song, it is important to note that there is a song
that
comes with it. I don't know when you can play the song. It's the same as so they did Sans from Undertale as well. It is the same sort of setup with that. It's just a costume for the same character as well and a song. But it is really cool that Nintendo and I think Sakurai as well giving these sort of indies a little in there. And a lot of people really want his Shovel Knight, and he's an assist trophy in the game. So it's very cool that they're giving the little guy a shout, basically.
They're also giving Ubisoft a big shout with Altair and Rabbids.
The Rabbids, yeah. I mean, they have a very close working partnership with Ubisoft, though, as well. I mean, they let Ubisoft work on a Mario game, essentially, which is impressive for Nintendo. They don't let anybody mess with anything. Last time they let anyone mess with anything was Capcom with Zelda, and then they stopped them from doing that ever again. They were like, no more. And now I think they've become a bit more open-minded in terms of letting other companies deal with their licenses. Like Cadence of Hyrule, obviously is a Zelda game made by an indie developer. Sort of. It's not exactly a Zelda game. Obviously, they've got the Koei Tecmo Warriors series for Zelda and Fire Emblem. And now this as well, giving characters in. It's good to see Nintendo work with indies, because I know that they were notable in the industry, at least, for being difficult to work with.
Well, from Smash characters to characters that should be in Smash, Resident Evil 3 Remake had a new trailer showing off Nemesis.
You want Nemesis to be in Smash?
Put him in Smash, you cowards.
He's in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
The trailer is only a minute and change long, plus the bumper showing the resistance mode. Well, the key art for that, anyway. It shows Jill basically getting the crap beaten out of her in several instances by Nemesis. As someone who didn't play the third Resident Evil or any after the second, really, I was aware that he followed. I wasn't aware that he was like the tentacle and explosions propelling him towards Jill. And it's a very, very good trailer. Showing off Nemesis and the constant danger that Jill's in.
Did you play Resident Evil 3 Psychopathic? Because I didn't play Resident Evil 3 originally either.
I did not. The only one I did play was 5, which didn't feature the Nemesis at all.
Oh no. Oh no, 5.
Oh, do you not like 5?
I mean, I it's not as bad as 6.
Yeah, I did try playing 6 with someone for like 2 hours. Like we were playing together, and usually, even if I'm not enjoying something, if I'm playing with someone else, or if you're with a friend, you still can enjoy it. Neither of us were having fun. I don't know what was wrong or what they did different, but it was just so enjoyable to play.
That's fair enough. I never heard bad things about 6. I played 5 and much enjoy it. I'm not a big Resident Evil fan, just in general.
But you have played multiple Resident Evils.
I try and keep an open mind. I play lots of things that I don't think I'll enjoy, just in case. Might do. I know lots of people are really excited for Resident Evil 3 remake. Is it this year? It's this year, isn't it?
It is.
It's April.
That's so soon, considering Resident Evil 2 was out at the start of last year.
I mean, they're using the same engine as they did with 2, so they could definitely have been working on them side by side.
Are they two different teams, or are they the same team, though, I wonder?
I honestly don't know, but I don't want to say delay, because we're talking about those in a minute. It's the reason that they've spaced it as they have will probably... most of the development has been on the multiplayer mode that's coming with it.
Oh, for Resident Evil 3?
Yeah.
What do we know what that entails? Is that the Resistance mode?
Yes, that's 5 players, 4 are trying to escape, and 1 is a mastermind who triggers traps and summons zombies and can control certain zombies.
So it's similar to Left 4 Dead's sort of the way Left 4 Dead works.
Yeah, I was thinking more of it like sort of a Dead by Daylight kind of vibe, really, like a kind of a 4v1.
Yeah.
Survivors trying to escape. I think a Resident Evil kind of thing, something like that, could be quite interesting.
Could be really good. I know that so Resident Evil 2 did incredibly well, but I don't know how much replayability that game has. It could be something really good for the series to add this level of multiplayer. And I know we're past sort of the section where developers are trying to strong arm multiplayer into everything, but in this case it seems like it's a really good idea.
If they do it well, then it obviously if they do it well, it'll work. But I think, because with asymmetrical kind of style multiplayer games, it's difficult to get the balance right, in the sense of making sure that the solo player is strong enough, but not so much that there's massive power imbalance. Because Dead by Daylight it's been out for 3-4 years and it still gets this problem of finding the balance. So if it works, I think it'll be really good, and it could really keep the Resident Evil 3 alive long after its release. But if it doesn't work, then I think it will backfire for them.
Well, previous attempts at a multiplayer Resident Evil have not gone well for Capcom. Hopefully they've taken those lessons on board.
Was it the so they did co-op, they've done co-op a lot, but is it the have they done an online sort of multiplayer thing before? I can't remember.
Umbrella Core was an online type.
Was that them, though? Or was that somebody? I remember that being some sort of broken mess, but I don't remember much else about it.
I'm pretty sure it was them, actually. I'm just having a look. I got the game and regretted it. Yeah, it's published by Capcom.
Wow. That seems like a really big, like, awful mess to let slip through. I know some companies do it, but Capcom don't tend to release massive, awful messes of games.
We gave it 3.5 out of 10.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a good score. It's positive for that. I've only seen videos, so I've not played it myself, but I can tell you that it sounds generous.
Umbrella Core fails at every single hurdle, is the line from the review.
Oh, hopefully we haven't got another Umbrella Core on our hands.
Well, someone hoping to not have an Umbrella Core in their hands is Ubisoft. They've had a editorial team shake-up, which...
Did they get rid of all of the people in the basement of their mansions creating zombie viruses?
Apparently, basically the middle managers have been replaced, because people who have resulted in games like Ghost Recon Breakpoint and The Division 2 being basically the same game released months apart.
That's Ubisoft's thing, though, isn't it? It seems like a general Ubisoft issue. If we come through the Ubisoft type of open world, I'm just looking at the story now. So is it the game designers have gone?
They delayed several games, including Watch Dogs Legion. That was due out in March. Now we don't know when it's due out. It sounds like any game.
Does that mean that they were kind of? Does that mean that they had an idea that the game as it was too similar to other Ubisoft games then.
That's what I would assume, yeah.
And the same with the Gods and Monsters that they unveiled at E3, which didn't look like a typical Ubisoft game, but I'm now imagining is exactly the same as every other Ubisoft game.
I'm wondering if it has to do with microtransactions or the in-game currency type thing.
I don't know. It doesn't... like Watch Dogs... Obviously, we don't know anything about Gods and Monsters, but Watch Dogs Legion doesn't strike me as the kind of game that would have...
Oh, you want that grandma to be a hacker and to drive fast? Well, for just 12 platinum, you can...
I guess. This says the newly hired VP, Maxime Belland, who worked as lead game designer on Rainbow Six, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, Splinter Cell. Don't know which ones, though. He left to join Epic Games and now has come back to Ubisoft. Is that a good sign for...
Well, Epic Games and Ubisoft have a close relationship because they stopped putting games on Steam and moved them over to Epic as well as Uplay. So,
is it still a thing that they've got now?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. So
it released.
Because so Maxime Belland, the new hire or hire again, is sort of known for Splinter Cell Blacklist and Splinter Cell Conviction as the creative director. If that shines more of a light on the man,
they weren't bad games.
No,
there were no Chaos Theory, but nothing is.
Chaos Theory is Chaos Theory.
Well, other things that aren't Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed. It's the
How do you know that's not Splinter Cell Chaos Theory?
Because it's a first person and third person, whereas Chaos Theory was just third person.
Fair enough. I'll let you off.
CD Projekt Red have announced that they've pushed back the release of Cyberpunk 2077. It was due out in April. It's now due out in September. It's quite a big push, but it's hardly the first game that's been pushed back. As we just mentioned, Watch Dogs Legion and about 15 other titles over the past 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII as well, stuff like that. But this one is a big delay, isn't it? It's 5 months, isn't it? 6 months.
Yeah, it's like 5-6 months, I'm pretty sure. Five,
that's quite big. Considering so last week you had Final Fantasy VII, which was delayed by 1 month. And then they come around and go, oh, we've got 6 more months. That to me says something was, I think actually reading the thing as well, the actual letter that they sent out, seems to me that something was really wrong with the game.
Yeah, because it says, we are currently at a stage where the game is complete and playable, but they're delaying it 6 months. But there's still work to be done. Night City is massive, full of stories, content, and places to visit. But due to the sheer scale and complexity of it all, we need more time to finish playtesting, fixing, and polishing. And apparently we need to do all of that under crunch conditions.
Yeah, it's insane. The Final Fantasy one last week, they delayed it by a month, and they're saying that is for polishing. They didn't say anything about playtesting and fixing. They said polishing specifically. We didn't hear anything about the working conditions of that game, so we don't know. But specifically, CD Projekt Red has said, yeah, they're doing it in 5 months, which is longer, but they're also talking about playtesting, fixing, and crunch, which is not good. It's something that we should avoid.
Yeah, if it's 40, 50 hours of game play, then that definitely take me 6 months to finish to play test that.
See, I thought it was 6 months, and so when it came out 6 months, I was like, okay, that means that they're not working people to the bone. Basically, either that means that the game is incredibly broken, or they're giving it enough time to be dealt with in a decent way. But if they're making people work like ridiculous hours, surely this game is in a bit of a state. I don't know.
Yeah, I tweeted something along the lines of they've now got to, they fixed a bug, and now Keanu Reeves is an unkillable boss along the lines of Nemesis from Resident Evil 3.
So,
I see no problem with that.
Yeah, I remember I played Fallout 3, and in that game, Liam Neeson's in that game, or he plays a character in the game, he plays your dad. And there's a segment in the game, I think about halfway through, where you meet your dad, played by Liam Neeson. And he then walks from one side of the map to the other, as the characters do in those kind of games. But I decided to follow him through his journey from one side of the map to the other. And it took a very interesting turn where there was just an unkillable man fist-fighting Deathclawsed. It was an incredible... It was just Liam Neeson fist-fighting Deathclaws, armies of bandit raiders. He got blown up with a rocket launcher, knocked out, and then got back up 5 seconds later and drew a sword. What? And I don't know where he got the sword, but that time it was serious, apparently, and just went on and slaughtered everything. I was like, wow, this is a... Maybe it's that. Maybe that's what they're doing.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to follow Liam Neeson, because I don't know what he does. Usually he just disappears and that's it. But I realized I could follow him, and I am happy that I did.
I'm happy you did too. That was a great story.
Yeah, because usually in games like that, if an NPC goes off to meet you somewhere else, they just walk off and then just disappear. Like in Skyrim, that's basically what happens. I didn't realize they just stayed in the map and just physically walked off.
Yeah, in Bethesda games, they do actually stay in the map. In most games, they do kind of disappear, but Bethesda, because it's got this sort of... It's got a radiant AI. They will tend to just walk all the way there through the map in some way or another. That's why sometimes you can fast travel there and they not be there. Which is fun. But obviously, following these guys and their adventures, that must be... I'm going to have to try and do that more often.
All right, I'll see you later. Yep. I'll just follow you for the next 6 hours.
It did take a while, but it was entertaining, so I didn't miss much.
But something that is going to be missed is another game that got delayed. Dying Light 2 has also announced that its spring 2020 release is not going to be met. They need more development time to fulfill their vision, so they're going to push it back to sometime in the future. They'll share more details in the coming months, and get back to us as soon as they have more information, which kind of sounds worse than Cyberpunk 2077's, because at least they were saying, yeah, this is finished, but it's kind of broken. This is saying, oh, we have no idea how to fix what we've done.
Yeah, I think, so in a way, I agree that it looks worse for the game, but what I must say is I think I prefer this way of doing it, not specifically for people who are hyped for the game, because obviously that must be devastating for them. I know it's devastating for them. I was really, really excited for Metroid Prime 4 until the start of last year when they said, sorry, we've scrapped the entire game and we're going to build it anew. The only thing I can imagine is in Dying Light 2's case, it's something similar. If they're not giving us any information, that the game is clearly not up to their standards, and I think it's a very good thing that they're saying specifically, no, we can't release it like this. And that they're not then going, we have to release it like this, and we're going to put our team through crunch period to try and get it right. I think it says a lot for either Techland or the publisher of that game. Is Techland the publisher as well? I suppose. I think it says a lot about them.
Square Enix are the publisher, Techland's the developer.
Oh, well, there you go. If Square Enix are allowing them the time to just do whatever they need, obviously we don't know the inner workings of these companies, but if Square Enix have said to Techland, yeah, that's fine, take time, then I think it says a lot about the company to say, we don't want to rush it out, we don't want to put your team through hell to try and make sure that they push it out.
Though it is the third Square Enix game delayed in 2 weeks.
What was the other one?
last week, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Marvel's Avengers both delayed.
Oh yeah, I missed Avengers because they didn't. No one sent. No one seemed to be bothered that much.
I mentioned last week. I got an email saying, "Oh, Final Fantasy VII Remake has been delayed because blah 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 blah." No mention anywhere in any email about Marvel's Avengers being delayed.
Do we know why Avengers is delayed?
I don't. Someone might.
Someone, I'm sure someone does somewhere. There's a lot of these things. So in the state of, because they all seem to be doing these letters, which they never used to do. They never used to give out letters, did they? They used to just say, it's delayed, sorry. now they've got like full-on letters that they post on their Twitter timelines. The other two, so Final Fantasy VII and Cyberpunk, both state that polishing and playtesting and stuff like that is required. Dying Light 2 states that there's probably something much deeper about the core of the game that requires addressing. I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of games that are being delayed. I don't know if there's some sort of coincidence with this, the amount of games. Maybe people were too ambitious, something like that.
I made a joke that Cyberpunk 2077 being delayed has kind of given others the confidence to say, yeah, we're also delaying our game. If it happens to CD Projekt Red, it can happen to anyone.
Maybe they're just moving it more closer to CD Projekt Red. They want to compete with CD Projekt Red.
I can delay my game longer than you.
Yeah, I saw a really funny little joke online that they're all just running away from Crossing because they're terrified of the game. Every single game is like, oh god, we can't compete with Animal Crossing. The worst thing that we could possibly do is to give Isabel reign over our game.
I've gone to the Dying Light 2 Wikipedia entry, and it says that in an interview with WCCF Tech, the chief Techland's chief technology officer confirmed that the game would be a cross-generation title. So perhaps
is this a recent thing?
That was in 2018. They said that.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, sorry, it's not 2019. Sorry.
Still.
July. So perhaps the delay is because they want to release all of the versions when they want to release it across all platforms when it's when PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X are released.
Whatever it's called. maybe. I don't know if I see that as the, because that's, I mean, they're both holiday this year, isn't it? The very vague marking of holiday this year. PlayStation and Xbox, or do we not know that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's holiday.
Holiday quotations. So I don't know if, like, maybe because Cyberpunk's delaying itself till September, and that's going to be. I don't know if do we know that that's going to be cross generational.
Yeah, we haven't taken the silences and no, we don't.
Yeah, because I thought that for some reason in the back of my head, like, people keep. I guess it's just like rumors and speculation on online and stuff. But people tend to think Cyberpunk and Final Fantasy VII and a bunch of these games that do seem to be getting delayed are or have the potential to be cross-generational games, as in available on both platforms, which I can see being the case. But I don't know. I don't believe anything's been said about it. But it's just speculation, isn't it? But you might be onto something. There might be like, oh, we need to get this closer to the PlayStation 5's release. I don't know.
Confirmed PlayStation 5 titles are Godfall, Lord of the Rings Gollum, Watch Dogs Legion,
what's that?
Gods and Monsters, Rainbow Six Quarantine, and a untitled game from Bluepoint Games.
What's Lord of the Rings Gollum?
We've seen key art for it, so we don't know.
Fair enough. I'd not heard that before. I just thought, oh, Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Yeah, it's a dating simulator.
It's a riddle game, yeah. Is it? So are you dating Gollum, or are you Gollum trying to date?
Yeah, you're Gollum trying to date.
Okay, and you've got to, like, woo people with your riddles.
Yeah.
What have I got in my pocket, Seas? No, not that.
It's developed and published by Daedalic. And all the information we have is who's making it and the logo key art.
Is it just a picture of Gollum with like a love heart?
I know listeners can't see this, but I've just posted a link to the image gallery in our little Discord thingy.
That really is the minimal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the Lord of the Rings Gollum and then a little Gollum inside the O.
Oh, is it? We need to change the O to a love heart. Our Gollum game dating same thing.
It doesn't even have a Wikipedia entry.
Yeah, Daedalic. I did the search for it and nothing came up.
What have they done before?
Daedalic. Lots of stuff.
I don't recognize the name.
They're mostly like point and click adventure style games.
Oh, it is going to be a dating sim.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes. Felix the Reaper? That was something that we'd reviewed on the site quite well, I believe.
Yeah, they've done a number of decent things. They've published some indie games, and I quite like them as a publisher, though I am a fan of point and click games. So.
I'm now excited for our point-and-click adventure dating sim with Gollum.
Daedalic, get on it.
They better do it. No, it better be. If it's anything other than a dating sim, then I don't know. I'm not gonna be as excited.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Psychopathic and Veld. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether it's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.